Friends, I have a confession to make this morning, and I know that this is going to come as a big surprise, but I'm not a dendrologist. Just going to put it out there. I've never been good at dendrology, and I know just enough to get through life. Oh, quiz afternoon, dendrologist. Anyway, I know just enough to get through life. I'm also not an arborist or a forester. And when I say forester, if you're thinking of Bold and the Beautiful, is that the correct? Is that correct? No? What's the reference? Where were the foresters? What was the, I don't know. Days of Your Lives, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, if your head went there, you can see I'm confused about that. Okay, dendrology is the study of trees and woody plants. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to study some trees and some woody plants in our service this morning. We can't use that question anymore. I've given it away. Yeah. But you might remember in the book of Genesis, we encounter a tree. And there's a number of trees. I'm going to tell you about that in a little while. But we always seem to get stuck on one tree. We know a lot about this one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You've heard of that tree, I'm sure. And you remember the tree was in the garden, and there were some people in the garden, Adam and Eve. So I tell him about Malcolm de Kock. Malcolm de Kock was preaching about this the one day in Kempton Park, and he did one of those Freudian slips. He said, Adam and evil. He battled to recover from that. But anyway, there's this tree in the garden, and God said, you can eat of any tree, but don't eat the fruit of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was somebody else in the garden. There was the serpent, and he was deceptive and a deceiver. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So he starts with a bit of doubt, and then he goes right in for to get her to eat. He says in Genesis 3:2-5, she says we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. So it's not only that they mustn't eat it, they shouldn't even touch it, which we don't often remember. And then the serpent says, you will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He creates doubt, he lies, they eat, they sinned. They went against what God wanted them to do. And we inherit that sin. I'm not going to hell because of what I did, but rather who I am. I am a descendant of Adam and Eve. It is my identity more than my actions that causes me to find myself in the place of sin. And today we continue to struggle with identity. It's interesting that one of the things that we battle with a lot is people. And the struggle is because of the sin that was unleashed on the world. Now there's a number of trees in the garden. It's not just that one tree. So let's look around a little bit. Genesis 2:4-9. I'm reading a little bit before so that you can get a feel of where we're at in the story. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's a whole lot of trees, not just one tree. So first of all, there's the trees that look good and the trees that are good for food. They're pleasing to the eye. And so we have this today still. You don't eat all trees, but some trees have got fruit, and we love to eat those trees. There was another tree mentioned, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the one that we know a whole lot about. I found it interesting, though, when Satan tempts Eve, she's got trees that are pleasing to the eye and good for food, but when she falls, this is what we read, Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit on the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, looked like all the other trees. But then we have, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So it's a similar tree to all the other trees, except it's got this proviso. It's got the wisdom component added in, and also the command, do not touch, do not eat. So you might think that this is what the tree looks like, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I knew it was going to get there. It was suspense. See, it's part of the thing here. But anyway, so here we've got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you might then go, well, obviously there's good and there's evil. I can't look at the screen. It's going to be a very long sermon. Good and evil. Jedi mind trick. Okay. And other words that we might use might be right or wrong. But this tree is a tree that leads to a whole lot of things. It talks about law, right and wrong. It talks about law. It talks about performance. It talks about flesh. It talks about works. And it leads to death. Did that all come up? Whoa! We're rocking. Go Paulie. And some people then try and draw a line through this tree. And they try as hard as possible to live in the shadow of this tree, in the shade of this tree. They try and live on the good side as much as possible and try and avoid the bad side. It's a battle that we wage. Avoid sin, try and do good. Some people even believe if they do enough good, they will inherit heaven or eternal life or something. You've heard people say that, but I'm a good person. It's this tree. The tree of deception. If I do enough good stuff, I'm going to be okay. And then I posed the question the other night to somebody who was, I was talking about this and said, well, then where do you draw the line? What is your good and what is their good and where do you draw that line? It's not a fixed line. It becomes very blurry. Unfortunately, we even see this in the church. We even have Christians who have a faith that is kind of in the shade of this tree. It's a faith of grace, saved by grace, but also got to try and do lots of good stuff. And so some Christians still live in the shade of this tree. If you live in the shade of this tree, what happened to Adam and Eve will happen to you. You will constantly be trying to be on the good side. You'll constantly be deflated and let down when you land up on the wrong side. Then the other tree that's mentioned that we don't talk enough about, this tree doesn't get enough airtime at all, the tree of life. Whew, so exciting. If Adam and Eve had avoided the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and had eaten from this tree, they would have lived forever. Genesis 3 verse 22, we read this. The man has now become like one of us, this is God speaking, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. If they had decided, I'm not going to eat from this tree, I'm rather going to eat from this tree, would have lived forever. And I know we always look at them and go, oh, come on, Adam and Eve. Couldn't you just do this one thing? But sometimes we're the same people who are eating fruit from this tree and not the tree of life. Sometimes we're just the same as Adam and Eve. It's interesting that this tree is mentioned in another place in the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, we read about this tree. How beautiful is this? We have got the tree of life in the very beginning. We have got the tree of life in the very end. The tree of life, it's like two bookends holding God's word together. Everything is found between the tree of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees of the tree are for the healing of the nations. 12 crops, one for each month. The tree of life not only gives eternal life, but it is a tree of provision. We read this in other places in the Bible, but here we see that living in the shade of this tree, living according to this tree, God knows and God helps, gives, supplies. And I know you want that Ferrari. That's not what we're talking about. God knows what we need. God is faithful. Often dealing with older Christians, as they look back on their life and they go, you know, God was always faithful to me. Younger Christians just don't have that to build on. But older Christians, you ask them, has God always been there for you? Absolutely. Was life tough? Sure. But God was always there. So that's what we find. We find the provision is in this tree at the beginning, the very end, and healing of the nations. What nation in our world does not need healing right now? Now, we can name them, and some need a lot of healing right now. If they live in the shade of this tree, there would be healing. This is where the Prince of Peace lives. And then there's healing for the people. When it says healing for the nations, well, that's talking about nations, but it's talking about God's people as well who live for God. So the tree of life, eternal life, provision, healing. We struggle with letting go of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We struggle. We try to live on the good side. We try and avoid the evil side. We try and get away from the bad side. We need to leave this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We need to leave it completely and go to the tree of life. What does the tree of life actually look like? So you might be thinking, oh, there it is, the tree of life. And I want to challenge this picture of the tree of life and say, the tree of life actually looks more like this. The tree of life looks like this. This is the other tree. This is the tree of Jesus Christ. It's the tree of grace. It's the tree of life, and it's the tree of eternal life. Think about what the tree in the garden and the tree in the book of Revelation teach us. Eternal, everlasting life, provision, healing. That's what we find at the cross. That's what we find at this tree. Quick question as we try and navigate towards something to work with this morning. Who died for our sins? Jesus. Who else died? Who else died? We did. We died. This is part of the message we often forget. We live in the shade of the wrong tree, and we don't realize that we died as well. Romans 6 verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We were buried with him. Surely that means we died, and then we rose to life. And so this is why this is a challenge for us this morning, is that if we died, that's gone. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil shouldn't be a part of our lives. Only the cross, the tree of life, should be a part of our lives, because we died to our old self. That's why in John 3, John says, you must be born again. Why? Because we're dead. We're dead. Not just a pretty picture of a little baby, picture Peter Benson. I'm born again. No. We're born again because we were dead in our transgressions. We're born again into life. At the moment we encounter Christ and put on faith in him, put our faith in him, we are changed. We are different. We are new. We died to our old self. We were raised by Christ. When we live by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we're constantly asking the question, is this something good that I should do, or is this something bad that I should do? Is this something right that I should do? Is this something wrong that I should do? But rather, if we live by the tree of the knowledge of good and by the tree of life, we ask the question, is this life? Does this bring forth life? Am I doing something, and is this life? Am I speaking life? Am I living life? John 14 verse 6 says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say, I'm the way and the truth and the good. He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. We need to live as people who are living by the tree of life. So as we live in Him, we live in life. So the question is, do we live like that? Are you living like that? Have you got one foot under this tree and one foot under that tree? We need to leave the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go to the tree of life. We need to die to all of that stuff. We need to die to the stuff that was part of our former lives. We say we have, but we sometimes kind of, I'm finished with that. I have forgiven that person. I no longer hold on to the hurt that I experienced. I'm a new creation. But sometimes I'm drawn back into this place. Have we truly died to that stuff? Dead means dead, completely finished, never to be around again. Are we dead to that? Are we dead to the anger, the hurt, the rejection, the past? Are we dead to that stuff? If we don't let go of all of that stuff, if we don't die to that stuff, we will be the same. If we die to something, it will not come back. It is gone. It is done forever. So let's take that as a challenge this morning. We sang a whole lot of songs this morning, and as I was listening to the words, there were words about putting Christ in His right place. King of Kings, the words were King of Kings. I lay my all before you now. I lay my all before you now. We sang that. And I want to challenge everybody here this morning. Let's do that. You know, in our Christian walk, we have moments where we want to stop and we want to say, okay, I'm serious about you, God. And I think this morning is one of those moments. If I can be so bold, I think we need to stop for a moment and say, what is the stuff that I should have died to that I have to die to this morning? Am I living in the shade of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or am I living in life? And if I'm not in life, then this is your time to say, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to let go of that stuff. Anger is a decision, more than an emotion and a feeling. It's a decision. When Lon and I don't get on, you know, those twice a year events, there's a point where we just get fed up with being upset with each other, and we're like, we're no longer upset with each other. It's a decision we make. Nothing changes. She's still my lovely wife. I've still done that bad thing. Why did I include this in my illustration? But how much truth is there in this? We can make a decision to stop that thing. Just like that. We can say, that's it. I'm no longer upset with that person. I no longer hold on to that grudge. I no longer let those words that were spoken have power over me. I'm no longer going to let that death be a part of my life, and I'm going to choose life. So we're going to pray about that now. Just take a moment to come before God. I'm not going to ask people to jump up and run to the front, but I really want you to be serious about saying, Lord, yes, this is what I'm going to do. I choose life. I choose life. I choose life. Let's pray.